الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، إذا صليت فصل صلاة مودع. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, sisters who may be listening, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In today's discussion, I thought of discussing something that is very pertinent in the life of a Muslim, something that holds great importance in his ibadat, in his acts of worship before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is that Islam rasmi karwaiyon se balatar hai. Islam is a religion that is beyond that, just the fulfillment of some rituals or practices. It is beyond that. And therefore Islam does not command us to fulfill an act just for the sake of fulfilling it. Islam rather emphasizes on developing and bringing about the spirit of that act. And therefore, the various verses of the Holy Quran Sharif, some of which I recited as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of concentration, dedication in our acts of worship, in our acts of ibadat. This is something that is lacking greatly in our acts across the board. And perhaps it is time that we rectify that and bring about that khushu, that khuzu, not only in our salah, but in all our ibadat. When it comes to qurbani and sacrifice, it is a great act of worship. It has to be done with that spirit. When it comes to paying your zakat, discharging it, it has to be done with that spirit of ibadat, with that fervor of love and zeal to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same when it comes to Hajj and Umrah, it's not just about circumambulating the Holy Kaaba, making tawaf and doing Safa and Marwa and presenting oneself at Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah. It has to be done with fervor, with zeal, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is of utmost importance. Because if we are going to bring that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts, if we are going to perform that salah with that zeal, with that love, with concentration and dedication, what is referred to in Arabic as khushu and khudu', what is referred to in Arabic as khushu and khudu', concentration, dedication, then we ourselves would find that there would be great enjoyment in that salah, and we would be able to draw far more from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than just when we perform our salah in a mechanical form. We should not for a moment feel at the same time that if we do not have that high level of concentration and dedication, then we should abandon the salah altogether. Allah protect, but shaitan whispers these sort of things in our ears, that if we do not have khushu and khuzu, then what is the purpose of us performing that salah altogether? So this also is not the correct attitude. If there is a salah, then we would be able to put concentration and dedication into that salah, at least at some stage in our lives, we would be able to work towards it. But if we abandon it totally, then what hope is there of salvation thereafter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran that in various verses of the Holy Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes that we should develop khushu and khudu in our salah. Concentration, dedication. It is a conversation that we are having to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People say, what dua must I recite? So a dua is not recited. A dua is supplicated. We beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like how the beggars beg from people. A person begs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah is very much a dua. It is very much seeking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very much asking for His assistance. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the believers are successful in the 18th juz, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those believers who have khushu and khudu in their salah, they have concentration and dedication in their salah. And perhaps, time permitting, we would discuss the various aspects of concentration and dedication and how we can work and strive towards achieving that in our salah, so that our salah becomes a real act of worship rather than just some mechanical ups and downs. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, that ask and seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience, perseverance and salah. And therefore we find that in the past, if there was anything that was concerning, that was affecting the life of a true believer, then his first avenue of seeking support would be of salah. And more often than not, two rakats of salah were sufficient to fulfill his needs and requirements and put him at ease. But we perform salah upon salah, and that degree of certainty or that degree of satisfaction that our needs are going to be fulfilled after performing that salah is not found. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةً. After that very verse, that seek the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience and salah, he says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. This salah that you are asked to ask the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from, it is something that is very, very difficult. It is not easy, except upon those who do so with concentration and with dedication. إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And who are those? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They are those who have absolute certainty on the fact that they are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they have complete yaqeen, certainty that they are going to die one day and they are going to be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have to answer for their actions. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and that they are going to return to Him one day. For such people, the development of concentration and dedication is not difficult. It is easy for them. And hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a great prescription in this verse on how we can develop khushu and khudu, how we can develop concentration and dedication in our salah, and that is through having the yaqeen and certainty, developing it to the degree that that we know at all times that we are going to die and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have that degree of certainty, then we would also have a high degree of concentration and dedication in our salah. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he echoed the very same verses of the Holy Quran when he mentioned, إِذَا صَلَّيْتَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ. That, O Ummat, when you pray salah, then pray the salah of the one who is bidding farewell. In other words, the one who is bidding farewell to this world. The salah should be performed as though it is your last salah. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The very same thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this hadith, that if we concentrate and contemplate, reflect and ponder over the fact that this salah may be our very last salah, then you would be able to achieve those high levels of khushu and khuzu which are demanded and required for us or from us. And therefore this is something that is very, very important. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned about this very hadith, and he says, in this hadith we have been taught tariqa-e takmeel-e namaz, the method on how we can perfect our salah. The method on how we can perfect our salah. Jo amal karega wo tajruba kar lega. The person who does it will experience it. The person who does it will experience it. Think for a moment before the salah that perhaps it may be our last salah. Normally a person does not know when he is going to die. But there are some peculiar instances where a person has a fair idea that now he is about to go. If a person, for example, is sent to the gallows, he is about to be executed in whatever form, and such a person is given the opportunity to perform 2 rakats of salah, can we imagine what level of concentration and dedication that salah will be performed with? And then, of course, before I go into some practical considerations, some practical ways in which how we can strive towards bringing that concentration and dedication in our salah, it is also important to mention some ancillary points with regards to that. And that is that when we come for salah, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that wear appropriate clothing at the time of salah so that your salah may be accepted. Do not move about in your salah. There should be khushu and khudu in as far as even our actions are concerned, the movement of our hands. So many a times it is noticed that persons perform salah, but their hands are moving all the time, scratching here, playing with the pants, playing with the trousers. This is something which is against the quality of khushu and khuzu. Many a times such actions cause the salah also to become invalid. Many a times our clothing is absolutely inappropriate, especially when we start adopting modern trends and fashions, which we addressed once in a poster as well, in the Did You Know series, that the trousers have become shorter. I mean, they start from far below the navels now. And the shirts have become shorter upwards, causing a fair amount of the satr, the area that is supposed to be covered in salah, to become exposed. And it becomes difficult to address it with people as well, personally, because people nowadays don't have the capacity anymore to appreciate good advice. So these are points of great concern. If this part of your back is showing during the salah, your salah is invalid. It is not acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some very, very important and pertinent points. Then we should not only be concerned about our own salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also commanded and demanded of us that we should be concerned of the concentration and dedication of others in salah, and therefore various commands. For example, passing in front of a musalli. passing in front of a musalli, you are going to affect his concentration and dedication. Yet, when the salah is complete, and people of the front have to leave, and others who have missed some rak'ats are busy completing the salah, hardly any care and attention is given to those who are crossing by. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that if you knew what was installed for you, if you had to cross in front of a musalli, you would wait even 40 years perhaps, but you would not cross in front of that musalli. And yet people cross by without any degree of concern that they are doing something that is incorrect or something that is wrong. Therefore we should take cognizance of these points, take them to heart, because they are very, very important aspects of our lives. They are very, very important aspects of our lives. Nevertheless, in the next few minutes, I wish to prescribe some things which I have heard from our pious predecessors and the ulama around with regards to how we could develop concentration and dedication in our salah. The very first thing is to come to the masjid on time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that kunna nuhadithuhu wa yuhadithuna. That he would talk to us, we would talk to him. But when the azan was called, it was as though he did not even recognize us. When the azan was called, it was as though he did not even recognize us. In other words, from that very moment, the preparation of salah has to commence and start. If the preparation of salah commences from then, we would find that it would have a far greater impact on the concentration and dedication that we would be able to develop in our salah. Because from that very moment now, we are starting to prepare for our salah. This whole system that is in place, that the azan will be called out, and then preparation for salah begins. There would be wudu that is made, ablution that is taken. And there would be some rak'ats, some units of voluntary salah, sunnah salah, that will be performed prior to the main salah. It is all there in preparation for that main salah. If all this is done, you would find a greater level of concentration and dedication in that salah. So the very first point is that as soon as the azan takes place, we should start heading towards the masajid. At that point in time, there is nothing that we know. It is mentioned about the pious and the righteous that if it was a blacksmith, then the hammer, if the hammer was lifted up, it would remain behind him. It would not even come and hit the rod of iron again after the azan was called. That was it, period. Therefore, that is one very important consideration that we should have if we are interested in developing that khushu and khuzu of salah, and we are interested in drawing from the untold mercies of performing salah in this particular manner. Then there is something else that we can adopt as well. And that is that when we make our khushu, our wuzu, when we perform our ablution, let us try and do so with concentration and dedication from that very point onwards. That we are preparing to stand before the King of the worlds, the Lord of the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do so in accordance with how we have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we start, we recite, Bismillahi walhamdulillah. With again, reflection over the fact that we are starting with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing all of these things. And the hadith mentions the dua, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi, wa wasi'ni fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. And after wudu, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin, wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. All these duas are mentioned. And then the ulama have mentioned some du'as which although are established in the hadith, they are not established on that particular occasion, but they are beneficial to recite during wudu. Allahumma atini kitabi biyamini, when you're washing your right hand. Oh Allah, grant me my book of deeds in my right hand. La tu'atini kitabi bishimali wala min wara'i dhahri. Oh Allah, don't give me my book of deeds in my left hand or from behind my back. When we wash our face, Allahumma bayyid wajhi yawma tabyaddul wujuh. Oh Allah, whiten my face. Make it glow on the day of Qiyamah when you would make some faces glow and others blacken. If we do our wudu with that sort of concentration and dedication, we would find a greater level of khushu and khuzu in our salah. And then, the very important thing of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begging of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us concentration in our salah. Dr. Abdul Haysab rahmatullah alayhi would say that tasawwuf ka khushu ka khulasa hai. It is the gist of tasawwuf, of being a pious, righteous servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the time we should be asking of something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time. So just as how we ask for our other needs and requirements, we ask for this. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrik. Oh Allah, help us to remember you. Wa shukrik. Help us to be grateful servants of yours. Wa husni ibadatik. Help us to perform our acts of worship in accordance with how you would be pleased with it. So keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And then also make a concerted effort to try and understand what we are reciting in our salah. Let us not limit our recitation in our salah to just a few selected verses or surahs of the Holy Quran, which are more often selected just because, or so that the salah can be completed speedily and we can get on with our other acts of mundane activities. Our purpose and objective in life is salah, is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, we should try and recite perhaps a greater variety from the Holy Quran. Many of us know the surahs at least from Ad-Duha till Wan-Nas. Why is it then that we have to recite Inna a'tayna and Qul huwa Allahu ahad in every rakat of every salah? This is something that is, that if we implement and adopt, again we would be able to up the levels of concentration and dedication. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the high levels of concentration and dedication in our salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the problems, difficulties and calamities that the ummah around the world is facing. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.